Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To London, to Joseph Sternberg. Member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he writes political economics for the journal. He is also my guide on strange headlines from London papers. And there's a whopper right now that requires Joe's explication. Rishi Sunak, that's the prime minister after several choices, rebukes Matt Hancock, unknown, over plot to block disability funding. The subhead explanation doesn't make it any easier to understand, but this is a major scandal. PM's spokesman says, of course, ministers should not operate that way after conversation between ex-health secretary and aide revealed. Joe, this is a whopper. Who is Matt Hancock, who appears in a photograph on the front page of the Telegraph with a very unhappy look on his face? Is he the fellow who got in trouble for carrying on during the lockdown with another prominent member of the elite in London? I think they were schoolmates at Oxford, and then was on television. Is that the same Matt Hancock? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hi, John. Yes. And the reason that we're thinking about Matt Hancock right now is that he, before any of that, he was the health secretary. So the most senior official in former Prime Minister Boris Johnson's government responsible for health policy during the first year and a half of the pandemic. And not only that, but he recently wrote a memoir with he enlisted a journalist for help. As part of that process, he had downloaded something on the order of 100,000 of his text messages that he had sent or received from other government officials throughout the first year and a half of the pandemic, which he handed to the journalist while they were working on the memoir. And she has now leaked this trove of 100,000 text messages to the Daily Telegraph newspaper here in London, who have been splashing their front page for more than a week now, every day, with new revelations from these communications. So the story today is that at one point when they were trying to pass legislation through a parliament where a lot of conservative members of parliament were unhappy about new lockdown restrictions, they threatened one of them, allegedly, that he might not receive funding for a disability care center in his district if he didn't vote the way the government wanted him to. Now, this MP has said that this threat was never actually communicated to him, but it does appear that they thought about doing that. But I mean, other revelations have been far, far worse. There was one text exchange in which he conversed with an aide about the need to deploy news of the Kent variant of COVID in December 2020, deploy that news strategically to, quote, frighten the pants off of the public in order to build support for a new lockdown. There have been suggestions that he overruled aides who wanted to impose more aggressive testing on nursing homes, which became a hot spot for COVID deaths, especially during the first wave of the pandemic. There have been all kinds of communication about masking policy, about especially in schools, that suggests that none of this was really based on science. A lot of it was based on what they thought the politics of it was. There have been suggestions that they presented Prime Minister Boris Johnson with faulty data in an effort to try to get him to support imposing a second lockdown down in November of 2020. It has just all ended up out in the open. And meantime, the final big story arc that has tied all of these individual revelations together has been the suggestion that Matt Hancock, the health secretary, other politicians, and the civil servants were just so contemptuous of the public while all of this was going on. They were sending comments that were very insulting about travelers who got caught up in the hotel quarantine rules at the time that was going on. They were just very cavalier about the hardships that they were imposing on the British public, and that so much of this was done really with more than one eye on what the impact would be on advancing their own ambitions.
I recall, Joe, our conversations during the same time frame. This is winter, spring, summer of 2020. And it was puzzling. Sometimes we would come across stories that didn't make any sense. You remember the two middle-aged women who were on their way to the coast to have tea together, sort of to spread the blanket out and admire the coastline? And they were arrested and charged for breaking the lockdown. Do you recall that incident, Joe? It struck me as sensationally Monty Python. Oh, we're going to have tea. You're under arrest. And that is all this period when Hancock was in charge. Was he was all powerful. And what you're telling me is that these WhatsApp messages reveal he wasn't in charge of anything. He was making it up.
Well, so, it's good that you remind us of that kind of thing that was going on, because, I mean, first off, one of the messages that has emerged from this is that actually a lot of police forces were very resistant to enforcing the rules in such a heavy-handed way, partly because they understood that the public was having a lot of trouble complying with the rules. And in fact, one of the themes that has run through a lot of these revelations that the Daily Telegraph has been reporting on has been that often the scientific advisors would argue for less stringent restrictions because they understood that these would be difficult for the public to comply with, and they knew that there were doubts scientifically about what difference it would make to the course of the pandemic anyway. So, for example, there were long discussions within the government about the amount of time that people should be required to self-isolate or quarantine after they had come in contact with a confirmed case of COVID. Through much of the pandemic, the rule was 14 days. You now have messages from scientific advisors and doctors saying, well, actually, we think that, there's very little difference between 10 days and 14 days. And in fact, as little as 5 days could be safe if you ask people to do a test every day for those 5 days. But the government stuck with this very disruptive, punitive, draconian 14-day rule, partly because on one level, they thought that they had polling suggesting it was what the public wanted. And often because the politicians were very shy about the embarrassment of having to make a U-turn, of having to reverse this policy that they had already gone to the trouble of implementing. So we discover that often there was not very much science behind some of these restrictions that would lead to people being fined for walking around carrying cups of tea. There was no science behind that. There was often a lot of politics behind the decisions that made those rules.
Do you recall, Joe, we had a feature early on in our conversations, A Life in London, in which you would report on the activity in the parks. And early on, there was no activity in the parks. And then there was a little bit, but people maintaining social distancing of, like, I imagine 50 meters or something like that. Then there was eventually people kicking a ball around in some fashion. I don't remember the transformation. Meanwhile, nature's going on about its course, winter, spring, summer. And all of that now, Joe, comes under question because Hancock was issuing these edicts, these decrees. And he was basing it on nothing, on arbitrary facts. Do we have understanding of his sources while he was conferring with his colleagues about how to punish dissidents?
Well, I think that a couple things seem to have been going on there. I mean, first off, the reality, and this is something that I warned about in some of my columns as far back as March of 2020, the reality was that it was a new virus about which scientists and doctors knew almost nothing when it first emerged. And so it was inevitable that we were going to be subjected to a blizzard of conflicting scientific studies and analyses of it in the early days. And in fact, there's still quite a lot of conflicting science out there as people try to get to grips with, new information that we discover as time goes on. So in that kind of environment, I think that what seems to have happened is that the politicians made a political decision that they wanted to pursue a particular course because they thought that that was what the public would reward them for. And then they would tend to cherry pick science from this blizzard of conflicting research that was available. They would cherry pick the studies or the data that gave them support for doing what they had already decided that they wanted to do, and would be very dismissive of in at least one camp instance. They actually went on a pretty vicious behind-the-scenes campaign against a scientist who dissented from some of their policy decisions in order to try to create the impression that there was a lot of science behind it. And, you point to this issue of people staying out of the parks. It's true that there was also a lot of self-directed behavioral change. People were very frightened of the virus, and there was a lot of social distancing that had started even before the lockdown restrictions came out. One big question to emerge from this is you see that the politicians were not trying to inform the public about the changing science as it was happening. So we don't know, and we may never know, how the public would have responded if people had been aware that actually some of these dissenting studies were much more credible than the politicians let on. And would the public have continued to be as fearful as people were?
You would think that after this lesson of Matt Hancock and his WhatsApp, that the government officials or the MPs would learn that you must be candid and thorough and transparent, no matter whether you're communicating with your colleagues or with the public. But no, the lesson seems to be in the other direction. This is human nature. It's a headline in the Telegraph. Ministers activating auto-delete on their WhatsApp messages. So, Joe, what they've learned is hide everything. Don't ever let them catch you, and certainly don't hire a biographer with your WhatsApp message. Is that the lesson that the public applauds in Britain, that they'll duck under the covers rather than answer questions?
Well, unfortunately, this is very worrying, because one thing that this whole episode has revealed is that public records laws in the UK are not as robust as we would be accustomed to in the US. So in America, public officials operate under a lot of obligations to retain records related to their official duties, including if they send them often through personal devices or the like. And a lot of those records are subject to disclosure or can be subpoenaed. That does not appear to be the case here in the UK, where the only reason that we know about these messages is because a journalist chose to leak them. Otherwise, it's not at all obvious that they would have been subject to public information requests, under Britain's equivalent of the Freedom of Information Act. And it's also not clear that it would have been possible for anything like the commission that's doing a public inquiry into COVID. We don't know if they would have actually been able to subpoena any of these. So it is deeply, deeply worrying. The message that politicians are extracting from this is that they should avail of the WhatsApp feature that allows you to automatically delete messages more than a month old.
There's a tax plan from the new Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. After he gets done rebuking Matt Hancock, he will explain to the people of the United Kingdom that in order to be rich again, they must pay more taxes. When we come back, Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal based in London. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.